Red Film Radio, Berlin International Film Festival, Germany.
For Red Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 65th Berlin International Film Festival, and this is an extract from the Berlinale Talent Workshop panel entitled Imaginary World, Exploring the Unknown, a panel dedicated to discussing the practice of designing the world and setting of a film before coming up with an actual story. Here, celebrated production designer Alex McDowell illustrates the theme of the panel by giving an example of the work that took place in Steven Spielberg's production of Minority Report from 2002.
Minority Report was a film that we designed starting in 1999, and it was a film that had some unique elements to it. Probably the most significant for us now is that it started without a script. So the writer, Scott Frank, and I were hired on the same day. So right away we had a situation of being of needing to contextualize the story without the kind of usual constraints of the script that you're going to get and break down and start working with that very linear directive. Another sort of significant piece was that the price of computation had dropped just around that time to the point where people were coming in with computers loaded with really sophisticated software, stuff that was on $100,000 machines were now on people's laptops. And that changed another significant piece of this. But to start with, in order to kind of roll forward, we decided what we would do is build out the world. We'd build a world that the linear narrative could find a place within. And we started with very few rules. We started with the knowledge of where and when we were, Washington, D.C. in 2050, that Steven Spielberg wanted this to be an apparently benign future because he wanted the audience to be lulled into a sense of kind of optimism about the future. And then as the story progresses into this loss of civil liberty narrative, that he could pull the rug out from under them. So we had a green space, a kind of no fossil fuels, technology worked. In the center, we had the central disruptor of the film, which is the precogs in the police department, who draw people to D.C. So the way we started the story was, if you have precogs in the center of D.C. in 2050, how does the world change? So if people flock into this city to become protected by the umbrella of this murder-free, violence-free society, what effect would that have on the world? And then the last kind of main driver for us was Steven's directive that it should be future reality and not science fiction, so that the audience would believe in this world and that it had this kind of near future sense of real possibility, even if it was being talked about in 2050, that people couldn't deny its possibilities. So what we discovered after the really kind of standing back from it after the film was finished was that we developed a world without a script, so that we could really think that the design of the world could precede the telling of the story to an extent. That the world itself had become a container for narrative, the story found its place within the world, and that the stories that emerged as we developed the world emerged logically and organically from the world itself. A whole other piece of this that we discovered was that the world-building process, because we had this lens of future reality and we did this deep research out into science and engineering and into the sort of social space, was that we discovered that we were actually stimulating emergent technologies through the inquiry of the fiction. And that all of this ends up giving us the power to sculpt the imagination into existence. So we started in a way with the horizontal. How do you imagine this world in a really literal way? If the population has poured into DC, a new kind of city emerges, a vertical city. You can't build in DC proper because it's zoned, so you can't build higher than the Capitol building. So this city emerges on the other side of the Potomac. And in the development of the city, we discovered, we looked at the way that the city might start bridging at a higher level using the airspace up high, how that would remove light from the lower levels, how that would create literally a vertical hierarchical society that becomes a driver of the narrative. We looked at infrastructure, we looked at education and health and advertising and shopping and all the elements that would start contextualizing the story space. but always thinking, you know, tuning this to drive the story. And so we ended up with what we would call a Bible, a 2044 Bible, as it turned out, looking at every aspect of society. This is about an 80-page document that we passed around. In a way, it was the context that the script would ordinarily have been for the entire crew. So everybody had a copy of this. And it evolved and it looked at all of the aspects of the society, whether or not it was going to be directly in the script. It was informing costume. It was informing, you know, cinematography. It was certainly informing the writing, the acting, and the context for the way the story would develop. And then out of that horizontal, we started looking at the vertical slices. So as an example of that, taking transportation, we asked the question, you know, how would Tom Cruise get to work in the morning? If he lives up in this very vertical city, could we imagine a new kind of vehicle that could travel vertically and horizontally, some combination of driverless car and elevator? And so that vertical became in itself an investigation. So here we've got kind of three parts. We're looking at Tom Cruise, who's parking his vehicle in the house. It's become a piece of furniture, so that's kind of re-examining the role of the car. How does he interact with his home? And those kind of questions all the way through the film. But secondly, we were looking at how you visualize this story. So this was the first time that Stephen had actually directed the previs. It was directed months before the final film, and it resembles the final film very accurately because the direction was actually of the previs, and then the previs was broken down and pushed out into the components that would made up the film. So that kind of prototyping process is really important. And thirdly, and probably the significant piece of this, was that this story could not have, this piece of the story, this vertical car chase, could not have existed if it had come out of the normal script writing process. I think that the idea that a writer sitting in a bungalow in Echo Park typing out 120 pages of white paper with text on it would have come up with a vertical car chase is unlikely. What we saw was that this piece of narrative and many, many other pieces of narrative in the film came directly out of the possibilities that the world presented. So it gave Stephen and Tom Cruise and the crew the opportunity to pull from the world whichever piece of narrative they wanted to use. And what we saw was that as you moved through the world, even if the script locked you down into, you know, a passive linear narrative, before that moment was locked, we knew what was happening outside the door if you turned left instead of right. We knew the whole context of the world. So we sort of started breaking this down into a process of how one might imagine the world. You know, so if our efforts generally collaboratively as filmmakers is to contextualize the story and create the fertile ground within which stories can emerge, perhaps there is a real process here. The notion of the origin, the what if and why not, which is a sort of essential piece of this. The early questions that the disruptors, like the precogs, put into the world that suggest and set in motion the frame of the story. The context of the what and the where and the when, what is the effect of, say, terrain or weather? If you're on Mars, physics has a very specifically powerful part of the storytelling in a different way than if you're in Washington, D.C. But in Washington, D.C., the social infrastructure, the political infrastructure, the technologies that evolve, all of those have a very specific effect. So we're looking now at how maybe process is fundamentally changing. We still are trained in a 20th century process, right? This is very linear, very industrial, analog process that starts with a script. The script gets funded, we hope. Producers get attached, a director gets attached, you change the script, you bring another writer, et cetera, et cetera. The designer, so it's a baton passing all the way through production. There's very little effect of each of those silos on one another. We have the opportunity to kind of think about this really differently. In, you know, what I would say a 21st century process, which has got a lot to do with that idea that computation has become cheap enough for us to bring it in on our laptops, literally, almost, you know, free. We have Google Earth and Google at our disposal to pull location pictures from. We have SketchUp that we can get for next to nothing and have on our, you know, we have the tools to do this. So what changes that 20th century model of pre-production, production, post-production, I would suggest has really changed into inception, prototyping, capture and finishing. And what this chart represents is the fact that everyone is involved all the time, that you that the editor is cutting the previs, if you like. The sound can be there at the beginning. The cinematographer is there collaborating with the designer and the director. And the reason that they're able to do this is because you have this design visualization space, this prototyping space, which is based in the digital. It gives us enormous amount of opportunities in the digital simulation of the film before you make it.
To listen to the full panel and other panel discussions from the 65th Berlinale, as well as from other film events around the world, tune into our channel, Fred Extra. Thanks very much for listening, and this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.